Have you ever acted as if sharing your faith was someone else's job? God says otherwise. The Apostle Paul challenges every believer to step up and be part of sharing the gospel. Today, you'll discover the beauty of being used by God and the urgency of reaching those who desperately need Christ. Keep listening as Stephen unwraps Romans 10 and reminds you, God's part and your parts are crucial in spreading the good news.
Well, today as we sail back into Romans chapter 10, we're about to study one of the most compelling passages of Scripture, I believe, in all the Bible. And it might at first sound like a contradiction to what we've learned in chapter 9 about the doctrines of election and predestination. In chapter 9, it sounded like it was up to God alone to choose those who would believe. But now here in chapter 10, it sounds like mankind has to make a choice as well. How do we resolve this paradox? Well, we don't have to. In fact, we can't in our finite minds and understanding. But it's true that both exist. Both the will of man and the will of God are at work. That's taught in Scripture as it relates to our salvation. Some passages emphasize the will of God, and other passages emphasize the will of mankind. Now, if there's any doubt that we must make a personal decision for salvation, Romans chapter 10 is going to settle that debate. In fact, Paul now writes here, we find ourselves at verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." People ask me from time to time, how do I know if I'm one of the elect? Well, that's actually easy to answer. Have you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Well, following verse 13, Paul begins asking some questions to emphasize our personal role in the matter of salvation. And the first two questions relate to the unbeliever's response to the gospel. Paul asks here in verse 14, "How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?" In other words, unbelievers need the facts of the gospel before they can call out in faith to God. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know what to believe and in whom to believe in order to be saved. So these opening questions in verse 14 relate to the unbeliever's response to the gospel. Now the next two questions relate to the believer's responsibility. Paul writes again here in verse 14, "And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" Well, by the way, this is the responsibility of every Christian. And let me stop here just long enough, beloved, to point out that Paul isn't making an appeal for foreign missionaries or vocational pastors. They're included here, and Paul's going to get to that later. But Paul is pointing his finger at every Christian on the planet. You see, we can't put a little money in the offering plate and say, now you church leaders go find some people, you know, to believe the gospel message. No, we can't buy our way out of the Great Commission. The responsibility to communicate the gospel to our world is a responsibility given to every believer. Well, let me tell you, the average Christian today has never verbally communicated their faith to their coworkers, fellow students, neighbors. It's as if Paul is challenging us here by saying, nobody's gonna be saved by just watching you, no matter how hard you work or how honest you are, no matter how godly you live. Those are all important things, by the way. But while your lifestyle might demonstrate your faith, it cannot deliver the facts of your faith. Eventually, you must communicate the gospel to others. Now, Paul isn't telling us to give up our jobs and all become preachers. In fact, the Greek word Paul uses here in verse 15 for preaching, when he says, "How are they to hear without someone preaching?" that has a much broader meaning than some formal message in a pulpit. It literally means to herald, to announce, to proclaim the gospel. I can't help but think of Edward Kimball as this kind of preacher. He was a shoemaker. Well, he volunteered to teach Sunday school at his home church there in Chicago during the early 1800s. He had a heart for boys living in the rough streets of Chicago's inner city. And he would go around inviting boys to his Sunday school class. And through his efforts, a young boy by the name of D.L. Moody accepted Christ and grew up to become a vocational preacher and pastor. In 1879, D.L. Moody won a young man to the Lord by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer also became a famous preacher, used by God to reach thousands with his sermons and the books he authored. In fact, I have just about every book F.B. Meyer wrote. Well, F.B. Meyer won a young man to Christ by the name of J.W. Chapman. Chapman, in turn, grew up to become a preacher, and one day his preacher brought to Christ an American baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday gathered massive crowds of people under huge circus tents, eventually preaching the gospel to more than a million people in his lifetime. And in one of his campaigns in Charlotte, North Carolina, there was such a great response that the meetings were extended, and Billy Sunday called on one of his friends to preach one night so he'd take a little break. His friend's name was Mordecai Ham. Now, while Mordecai Ham was preaching that night, a teenage boy accepted Christ, and his name was Billy Graham. These six men, through whom millions of people heard the gospel, traced their spiritual lineage back to a man who wasn't a preacher at all. He was a shoemaker. Edward Kimball understood that shoemaking was what he did for a living, but what he lived for was sharing the gospel of Christ. Well, now Paul is going to deliver a fourth and final question here in verse 15, and Paul asks this question: how are they to preach unless they are sent? Now, with this question, Paul finally points his finger at the church, and that includes every biblically faithful church. The church today, by the way, is largely forgotten that its mission is not to see how many it can seat, but how many it can send. In my home country here in North America, 80% of church growth is by transfer, that is, people leaving one church and going to another church in the same community. The church isn't really growing in numbers today all that much. It's just shifting from one location to another. Somebody likes the music over at another church, so they hop over there. Somebody likes the sermon series at another church, so they hop over there. Somebody likes the children's activities in some other church, so they hop over there. So we have this expression today, at least in my country, that people are church hopping, hopping from one place to another. In the church I've pastored for many years, half of my audience has never joined the church. They're just here for a little while, and they're probably going to hop over to somewhere else. Paul wants to leave us here with a much deeper sense of compassion for the world and a deeper passion for the work of the local church. We are in a church to bind ourselves together and sacrificially commit ourselves to sharing the gospel with our community, sacrificially giving so that we can send people to other parts of the world to deliver the gospel. You see, how can people believe in him when they've never heard about him? How will they ever hear about him if somebody doesn't deliver the news to them? And then you have this concluding question: and how can people deliver the good news of the gospel if the local church won't send them into the community, across the street, across the pond, and pray for them and support them as they go? It's as if Paul is asking in these questions, do we really care about our part in the mission of God and the gospel of Christ? Well, if we do, don't overlook this wonderful commendation from the Lord. Paul puts it this way now at the end of verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So here's my question, beloved. How beautiful are your feet today? How beautiful are mine? Well, let's ask the Lord to increase our pity for the world, increase our passion for his work. Let's not be satisfied with silence. In whatever world God has assigned us to live and work and play, let's ask him for opportunities to actually speak, to communicate, so that our world will hear and understand, and by the grace of God, call upon the name of the Lord so that they might be saved. Well, until we set sail next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
This is the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen is teaching through the entire Bible, all 66 books, with a new lesson each weekday. Today, you learned that every Christian has a role in bringing people to Christ. No believer is exempt from the Great Commission. So, ask yourself, what's one step you can take today to share your faith with someone who needs Jesus? If you or someone you're talking to ever has a question about the Bible, we have a tool to help you. We've launched a resource that can transform how you explore God's Word. We've installed a chatbot on our website. You'll find the blue icon at the bottom of every page. What's unique about this resource is that it has indexed Stephen's Bible teaching ministry. The answer you receive will come directly from a teacher you can trust. It's designed to provide instant, insightful answers to your Bible-related questions anytime and anywhere. You can still email us questions if you want to, but our new tool will answer your questions in seconds. No question is too big or too small. Here are some of the things people told us they loved about this resource. Immediate answers. You get quick, accurate responses to your Bible questions without having to sift through various resources. 24/7 availability. Whether it's a late night study session or an early morning query, this tool is always on hand to assist you. Best of all, it's easy to use. Just type your question. Now, if you ask a question Stephen hasn't discussed, you won't get an answer. But if Stephen discussed the issue in one of his messages, you'll not only get an answer, but a link to the message. There's a blue icon on the bottom of every page at wisdomonline.org. Ask your question today. Then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.